He grew from $50,000 to just shy of $7 million using stages to attract more customers.
And you were the person who was putting him on all those stages.
100% of them. Right. Like every single one of them. That's when I knew that I had a powerful system that people needed and wanted.
You're listening to the Business Lunch Podcast with Roland Frazier. So let's join with Roland today as he speaks with Pete Vargas. Pete is the founder and CEO of Advance Your Reach. He and his team have booked over 20,000 events and have reached tens of millions of people. In today's episode, how Pete has developed a specific system for using public speaking as a business model. He's going to explain the five different ways you can monetize the stage and how it can actually be one of the most effective customer acquisition channels.
This is Roland Frazier. I'm here with Pete Vargas today on Business Lunch. And Pete and I actually had our lunch a few months ago in Denver. And that was the first time that we were able to really connect and spend any time together. And Pete has become really kind of from nowhere and just seems to me overnight, you're probably the 10-year overnight success. I'll let you tell us about that. But one of the top speaker trainers, would that be the speaker coach or speaker trainer?
Specifically the business model of speaking.
Business model of speaking with a really cool brand, Scale the Stage, and several others. And I had the opportunity, Pete invited me to Denver to sit in on one of his workshops. He calls intensives, as we do. And I think that one was that the Scale the Stage?
That was the stage workshop, how do you get on stages.
Yep. Okay. And I had an opportunity, very generous to do that, I had an opportunity to hang out with him and really was just blown away by the quality of the content and the people there, seeing what they got out of it. And I don't really know anyone else who does that, certainly that does that well. I have been to a couple of, air quotes here, speaker trainings, and I didn't find them to be terribly voice friendly. They were, this is how you talk. This is what you ask for, a glass of water in the middle of the speech so that you show the crowd that you have authority and blah, blah, blah. And I just hated all of that. Your thing was nothing at all about that kind of trickery. It was just straight, look, this is the methodology for finding stages, for getting on them, and then for monetizing them. Everything from, I won't spoil this, but everything from the most subtle way to platform speaking, but that's not really your thing. So, Pete, thank you for being here.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Will you do a quick origin story? I always like to share. This came out of an experience with somebody who had a tragedy at Columbine with a shooting, and then you helped them, and tell us about how that all came about.
I was a youth pastor, and I showed up the first Wednesday night, and I didn't want to speak because I was scared of speaking. I was very self-conscious.
You showed up as the pastor
I was actually showed up as the youth pastor at this youth, small little West Texas youth group, and I didn't want to speak because I was really subconscious about my weight, but the pastor knew that I'd come in there and I'd love on kids. And so
I get that a lot. I'm just feel like I'm way too thin.
Way too thin. And so I used speakers. The first Wednesday night, we had three kids there, and I would bring in all of these speakers, entrepreneurs, CEOs,
were doing that defensively.
Defensively, so which most people don't know. That's exactly
so
right.
Cool.
Every week I'd bring in speakers. Huh. And our youth group grew from 300 to 800 kids. Three kids to 800 kids. It was actually featured in our big local newspaper. And I just saw the way that these kids would respond to speakers. And one of them I brought in, his daughter was the first girl killed at Columbine. He felt like he could make a difference in the educational and corporate realm. And he came and spoke. And his daughter left him six diaries and a paper called My Ethics, My Codes of Life that she wrote 1 month before she was killed.
Oh, my God. And how old was his daughter?
His daughter was 16 years old when she was killed. And he said, I want to go change the school systems based on what my daughter wrote, but I don't know how to do that. So long story short, he came in. My dad heard it. My dad was an extremely abusive dad, hadn't made amends with me, and I was 23 years old. I was a youth pastor. He was like the 20th speaker that I had brought in, and my dad heard the message, and it's what prompted my dad to ask me for forgiveness for the father that he had been. We had tried everything growing up, and nothing had worked, and finally I saw 1 hour on a stage do that. But I'd also seen 1 hour on a stage grow my youth group from 300 to 800 kids.
You were like,
This stuff works. It actually works.
And you started effectively as an event planner without even realizing it.
Not even knowing it subconsciously.
Meeting planner.
Yeah. I said, Daryl, why aren't you getting this into all the schools across America and corporations? He said, I don't know how to do that. And so we just said, let's start putting you on a stage in front of your ideal buyers, which are superintendents and school principals.
Right.
provide value. Don't tease them. Teach them, which is kind of counterintuitive in this market, Roland, as you know. And he did not want to be salesy because he's like, the one thing I will not do, I won't be salesy because I'm talking about my daughter. So if you make me be salesy in my presentation and I can't provide value, I don't want to do it. And so we figured out the key things that he felt comfortable doing on a stage because he could never sell on these stages.
Was he selling any kind of product or was he selling change or?
He sold a $5,000 to $10,000 school program. So it was either $5,000 or $10,000 that schools would bring in.
Okay.
But if you ever mentioned that on a corporate stage, and the corporate program was $10,000 to $20,000.
Okay.
So if you ever mentioned that on the stage, you're blackballed. Like, he never wanted to feel salesy.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured out, how do you architect a talk that's so value driven where by the end of the time, they're like, I want to hire you to come do it for me. What you just taught me to do, I want you to, like what you taught today. Like I just heard Roland today, it blew my mind. Like, and if I could have him, I'm sure that for the right price, he would come do that. But like, holy cow.
The cool news is that you can't hire me. So you get me for free unless I come in and own part of your business. So I generally give away all of my advice for absolute free. So, and that cool.
It's unbelievable. And so that's what he would do. They would walk in there, he'd provide value. And he got so comfortable providing value and seeing the results of people coming back, and he grew from $50,000 to just shy of $7 million in the educational system using stages to attract more customers.
And you were the person who was putting him on all those stages.
100% of them.
Right.
Like so, every single one of them.
So now, when did that become clear to you that that was a system that you should share with the world like you're doing now?
So it became clear, one of the things, and I have never said this publicly, so I'm going to get raw. Brendan Burchard, who you know well, emailed me a few years ago and he said, how did you book 25,000 stages? Like, I want to know how you did that. Because he thought I was booking them for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when it got really clear that the system worked was all of a sudden, Daryl couldn't be on the road anymore. And he had to be on top of the business.
Right.
And so he said, I need another speaker.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, okay, I can book the next speaker. But then he's like, I need another speaker. And so when we started getting three or four speakers, I could no longer use the system. So I wanted to see if I could train a sales rep to actually use the system to book the stages.
Right.
And so I took what I had done for him and had booked some really great stages. And then I trained a sales rep who knew nothing about stages, but they followed the process and they started booking stages. And then all of a sudden, his greatest year, he had 50 speakers out on the road. And I had 30 different sales reps that worked for me for 13 years that took the system I created and used it to book other speakers. So it wasn't me. Like, the math doesn't work.
Right.
I can't be on 25,000 stages in 15 years.
Right.
We were booking.
Very impressive if you could, though.
Yeah, it would be really good. I don't think the numbers add up, but we were booking 2,000 to 3,000 stages a year for our clients because they had multiple speakers and it wasn't just one speaker.
So were you a speaker agency at that point?
I was, but not a lot of speaker agencies are based on the speaking fee.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting rewarded based on all of the programs that were sold on the back end.
So you, now you had a rev share, so this would be an interesting question for you based on the talk that I did today that you, that we, you and I were chatting about. So did you have an ownership interest in that business?
Not an ownership, no. It was more of a rev share commission only basis.
So you built his business from effectively nothing to $7 million, and then I'm sure it went way beyond that once you had 50 speakers and all that, but weren't able to participate. You got paid well.
Well.
But you weren't able to participate in the value creation, the wealth that was created as a result of that.
At all.
Did that ever, was that ever a thought then, or were you basically just, you were like, man, I got the system. I'm booking the speakers. I'm getting paid money. The more I book, the more I get.
Yeah. It became real to me about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And that's where, so I'm the overnight success story. I actually did it for 15 years.
Okay.
So, 3 years ago, I got exposed. And how I knew his numbers is because he was a 501c3. So you could see their 990s.
Okay.
So if you go back to his 02 990, it was $50,000.
Right.
If you look at his 2010 or 11, I can't remember the exact year, 990, it was just shy of $7
million. Okay.
95% of that was being generated from stages that they were on.
Right.
So it was really powerful. So 3 years ago, I got introduced to this space and I just shared this with Ryan downstairs. Ryan and Brendan Burchard, I start seeing these guys and I'm like, man, this space exists, this expert space. And that's where I just all of a sudden thought, why am I not teaching more people this? Why am I not helping more people do this? So that's 3 years ago. I saw Ryan on a stage who did a very poor job of following up with me. And I just shared that with him downstairs. And I heard Brendan on a stage. And I knew that I had something that most people in the world didn't know. Brendan, I went to a Brendan event. I spent $1,500 to be on his stage for 3 minutes.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. And I did the VIP upgrade. And so, yeah, that's when I knew that I had a powerful system that people needed and wanted.
So now tell me, I love to do takeaways from lunches. What I learned was that there is a specific system for getting on stages. So for the person who is the aspiring speaker or has a message they want to share, what would you say, like what would you do if you were starting over now from scratch and you didn't have all the brilliant systems and connections and everything you've got now and wanted to get your message out?
So there's two types of people. There's the person who might want to go and speak a lot because they're in that season of life. I would say position yourself to attract higher fees, because if you can attract higher fees, then it makes sense to go from stage to stage. But if you're not in that season of life, I'm not, most speakers aren't, then think about stages as a customer acquisition channel and make sure that you have a back-end product suite that people can go deeper with you in, and don't rely just on the speaking fees. Too many people rely on the speaking fees and then they become a road warrior all across the country. So it just depends on the season of life you're in.
And you say there's three or four ways to monetize a stage. What are those?
The business model of speaking involves five types, and most people only know one or two. There's the paid keynotes, and there's the free stage. And on both of those, it's not just about the stage. It's about capturing people's information by giving them away something for free.
Right.
There's the speak to sell, and there's the sponsored stage. In both of those scenarios, most of the time you're getting to make an offer, or you're sponsoring the stage and getting to make an offer. And then there's your own stage. When people start recognizing that there's five different types of stages that can drive their business, that's when it becomes a model, like a portfolio for, you know, per se. So there's actually five different types of revenue generating stages that exist.
Do you want a mix of those, or is one better than the other?
Getting started, the number one is just getting one under your belt. And most people start with the free stage. Right now, we have all five of them in our business. Our top one right now is our own events. I think this year, not based on revenues, based on the number of stages we're on, mm-hmm. I think our own events is around 40%.
Okay.
Sponsored stages are around 22%.
Where you pay to be on the
where
stage.
Where we pay to be on the stage, because you get to keep 100% of your revenues from those stages.
Right.
Paid keynote and free stages are tied for third. I can't remember the exact, but it's like 12 to 14%. And then the speak to sell stage is only about 7.5% of our stages. And the reason why is we will only go to a speak to sell stage if we are the only person making an offer. I don't want to be at an event where there's like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 offers being made. And so if there's one offer being made, we'll be that one offer, but it's the one that we do the least of out of the five. But to each their own, my whole thing is like, pick your portfolio and start with one.
What's the craziest speaking story you have?
Oh, gosh, man. Craziest speaking story.
Like, crazy thing happened, power went out while you were in the middle of it, your slides died. Anything that you're like, God, I remember that time when...
Yeah, I remember. Craziest speaking
like
story.
Good. I'm ready.
So when you build a speaking team, which a lot of people out there, it doesn't have to be you. Like, mm-hmm. we shared with a couple of people at War Room today, like, it can be your employees actually speaking on your behalf.
Right.
Now, there's pros and there's cons to that. The con is quality control.
Right.
And so I remember with one of the clients that we had, they had a big speaking team, and we got a call at 2:30 a.m. where one of their speakers was on the road, and he or she had beaten in, had gotten arrested and busted a cop's windshield out.
Oh my gosh.
And was thrown in jail, and we had to try to figure out another speaker to send to that
cover
event
their
to cover their
Sorry,
spot because the speaker
Bob
was
Bob or Mary, their name will be
Bob,
could not make it today because they're in jail. So.
And Bob or Mary got dismissed from that speaking team. And
really?
So,
you didn't continue to have them? That's
well, it wasn't
shocking.
Me. It was our customer that actually chose to let them go. But that was a crazy night. We were up all night trying to figure out how do we get another speaker in there. So.
I love that. You're probably far too professional for this, but do you guys ever play jokes on each other or pranks on each other while you are speaking?
Yeah, there's been a few. There's definitely been a few. There's been a
or one, games to make you entertained while you're speaking, like delivering the same speech you've delivered 1,000 times.
The problem is when you have friends that can have charm the AV booth,
uh-huh.
they can change your slides a little bit.
Nice.
And then when one of the and they know you don't have a confidence monitor,
right?
And
confidence so monitor's the TV that shows
yeah,
your slides.
That
down
shows
in front.
Your slides, and so unfortunately, sometimes you might have a slide pop up that you did not know was going to pop up. And so yes, there are some pranks that can be played for sure.
So let me tell you my couple favorite ones. The one that was played on me was I was speaking at long ago at a real estate conference, and I had a guy that was on stage with me, and we're talking together and we're just wrapping up. So we're about to walk off the stage. And he says, and now Roland is going to give you a day-by-day, 30-day action plan for your real estate business. And he walked off the stage and out the room. And so I had to create on the fly,
a
30-day marketing plan for the real estate business. That was very, very well played, sir, I said to him afterwards. And then my favorite joke that I played, which some people might think is mean, but we thought it was really funny at the time, was we had a guy who was a super nice guy, and we were always playing pranks on each other to make things interesting because we're delivering kind of the same stuff over and over and over. And he would always eat a ton of peanuts and stuff before he went up, and then he'd drink a bunch of water while he was on stage. So I put a bunch of peanuts in the back of the room, put extra salt on them, and then I replaced the water inside the bottles of water with vodka. So when he got up on stage, he was quite thirsty because I didn't let them put any water in the back of the room. He goes up on stage, he pops the water, quote unquote, air quotes, downs about half of it.
Oh my God.
And then you see his face go, but he couldn't let anybody know. And so the whole time his face is like bright red. He's sweating. And he's like, he came out, he's like, you son of a.
It was so funny.
So speakers do entertain themselves by doing things like that. What is the one thing that you would like to leave everybody with if they, as a big takeaway from our talk, do you think?
Yeah. So it'd be a point one and a point two. Stages are a great customer acquisition channel that I don't think enough people are using.
Yep,
and point two is people who live in one space, the keynote speaker or the platform speaker, they're so accustomed.
The other channel.
They're so accustomed and they think that their world is the only world, and the world is so much bigger in stages. And so that would be the second piece. If you're already doing it, think about how you can expand it and think bigger, because there are a lot of stages out there.
Love it. Do you have any favorite travel hacks on all your traveling as far as things that you do that make your life better or anything like that, or a route you've found that's super cheap or anything fun like that?
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would say, and not just saying this for because you're here, but my travel hacks have gotten so much better since I followed you, because I'm seeing more upgrades both on airplanes and hotels because of the simple things that I'm doing of what you've taught me. Like I just shared with my team, like you find the biggest gap of hotels and the highest upgrade to the biggest gap. And I've just been applying that and just being able to get upgraded a lot more this year. Number one has been huge. Mm-hmm. And then I've not been afraid to actually pay for the upgrade, where in the past I would have not done that because of how people looked at me. Mm-hmm. But it makes me so much better getting work done on the plane, and getting work done and being alive for the people that I'm serving. So this is the first year where when I can't have a travel hack rolling, I'm actually paying for the upgrade.
Nice.
So.
Me as well. I really appreciate you coming. And I want to tell everybody, because, and I don't have any affiliate relationship or anything like that, but I think your speaker training, as far as getting the stages and everything, the thing I went to is the best thing that I've seen like that. And I think anybody that wants to do that would be very well served to go and do it. Where can they find out more about you and how to get in touch with you and all that fun stuff?
AdvanceYourReach.com. AdvanceYourReach.com has everything, tells our story and shows every way that we can serve people.
Fantastic.
So.
You have some free thing on there, right?
The big thing that we have is 47 pages of stages that they could be on, broken up by niche and industry. It's called the Ultimate Stage Guide. And so there's a ton of stages that if they just want to go see, like, what would my dream stage be? We have a whole guide there that they can download for free.
Sweet. Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. For more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.